No. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Ladies and gentlemen, cats, kittens, whatever you are listening right now, I'm Mike Coughlin. This is the Half Credit Hour here at HalfCredit.com, and we have a really good guest, Andrea KGB Lee, who you know from Invicta. You know, if you don't know her, then why are you on a mixed martial arts website? It's kind of like I'm not posting this shit on Salon or anything. So, Andrea, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, actually.
Yeah, it's. I think one of the cool things about you is that you have your own podcast, isn't that right?
Yeah, we just started it a couple weeks ago, and we had two episodes so far, and this past one we haven't posted yet because we're editing it, but it'll be up soon. It was fun.
Yeah, that makes me happy because a lot of fighters, not to stereotype too much, but they're not really good at talking. Or having thoughts. So, and I'm like, oh, she's got a podcast. If I screw up, she can just carry it and take over. And so how are you enjoying doing the podcast, by the way?
Oh, wait, say that again?
I was going to say, how are you enjoying podcasting?
It was actually a lot of fun. You know, it brings, a fun group of people together. We're doing, it's a video podcast, and we're going to be posting everything onto a YouTube channel. So, get subscribers and people, hopefully... that would hopefully want to watch us live. We do silly stuff. I mean, it's silly, and eventually we're going to have people calling in. Right now we're on Twitter asking people to ask us questions, but hopefully we can have call-ins eventually. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I know.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you got to work out the kinks early on before you go, oh, okay, now I know how it works. I kind of did that for a while with this thing where I actually just randomly had people on Twitter give me their phone number and I would call them and just see what happened. And so there's a bunch of weirdos in Oklahoma that now have my phone number.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people have my number too because it has been posted on social media quite a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I just don't answer a lot of random numbers.
I don't feel special anymore. Oh well. Wait, but you got to give a good plug then right away for the YouTube channel.
Yes.
Where do they find you?
I don't even know if Donnie has completely decided on a name yet, but he's been calling it Outlaw. Outlaw MMA Talk with Andy Nguyen and KGB Lee. Or KGB in any way. So right now, I'm not even sure.
No, it's all right. Just take your time on this one because I named this thing the Half Guarded Hour just because the website's halfguarded.com. I'm like, oh, that's good for branding purposes. But I really don't like the name, even though I thought it'd be kind of funny for HGH. But and now I'm stuck with it. So make sure you get it right.
I think we should. Think about that one.
Yeah, one of the things I have looked around and I don't know the origin, and I have to ask before I say anything else before you hang up because you realize this is a shit show. Where does the nickname KGB come from?
Well, Donnie, it's simple really. Donnie thinks that I look Russian or European. Just because I have round features. I have a round face. I guess they have kind of round features. Some of them, or most of them, maybe. And I have strong jaw lines, too. But anyways, he used to think that I looked Russian. He still does. And so he started calling me KGB, and then everybody else started calling me KGB, and it kind of stuck. And then we were at a Muay Thai tournament in Virginia, and there was a Russian team there from Moscow. And their coach came up to me because I was decked out in my KGB, Muay Thai trunk. I had KGB all over me. And they asked, why KGB? Cameron was like, what KGB? And then Donnie's like, well, he's like, are you Russian? And Donnie's like, well, no, but she looks Russian. And he looked at me and he's like, she does. And then he walked off. But then he came back later and we got pictures together and it was pretty cool. So, but I mean, I don't think that I look Russian, but
I don't know. That's why I was kind of looking. I'm like, okay, there's that Russian blonde look, but at the same time, Russians can also be, full of steroids, big ugly women that you are afraid will rip your head off. So I just wanted to make sure. I just want to make sure that you love America as we record this on July 4th, and that you're not a secret agent for the Soviet Union or anything.
No, I am not a secret agent. I'm full I love America. I am born and raised in America and a full-blooded American, and I'm certainly not a communist. So, America.
Well, there could be, you know, the possibility of sponsorship opportunities. I feel like the communist MMA fan is not being adequately represented. This is all going, we're being recorded all by the CIA, I'm sure. So let's move away from that. You mentioned, you know, you started striking, and were you a striker before you met your husband? Because I know you and your husband run a gym together, if I'm thinking it right. But had you already been doing Muay Thai before you met him?
No, actually, I've been with him since the beginning. We were, first, you know, as a child, I'd always wanted to train, do some kind of martial arts. And then whenever I grew up and moved away from my small town, my hometown in Atlanta, Texas, I came to Shreveport, started working in sports bars, and, you know, I still had that, you know, drive to want to, I don't know, do something. Not necessarily make a career out of fighting, because I didn't know that really was an option. But I started seeing UFC on TV, and then I had friends that were talking about, they had a cage fight coming up, and I'm like, cage fight? You mean you're going to fight in a cage? And I was like, just for real? You know, and it interested me. And then I started asking around, you know, and I had a friend who suggested Donnie Aaron, said that he would probably take me serious as a female fighter, because I wanted somebody to take me serious. And so I met with him, and we hit it off, started training, and I was going every day, and, you know, I didn't stop. Eventually, you know, him and I, we became involved, but after over a year,
I was going to ask, what was closer to love at first sight, him or fighting?
Fighting. Yeah. I mean, like, cause him and I, we grew on each other, cause he's older than I am. And I love Donnie. And I think that, you know, at first, you know, I kind of thought of him like a father figure, you know, cause that's how he treated me, kind of still does. but you know, it was just, you know, it was one of those things where we both grew on each other. We just spent so much time with each other, and so I guess that's better. It's better that way.
Yeah, probably in the long run. Plus,
we get to know each other. Yeah.
Let's face it. You know, men and women come and go, but fighting will always be around. Not that I'm wishing you guys ill in your relationship or anything like that, but MMA is way more important than any relationship I ever had, which is why I'm divorced.
Donnie and I mean, our whole relationship is based off of our fighting, our MMA career. You know, he's coaching and I'm the fighter, so I mean, like, this is our relationship. So.
Well, and it's funny because when you started, I think you said you were 19, you're about, 25, so it was about five, six years ago. When you kind of,
I started at 20, and yeah, I'm 27 now. Actually, okay. I like the 25. 25 sounds better.
Hey, trust me. Once you hit 33, you'll really wish you were 27. It doesn't matter. I'm a guy. No one cares how old I am. But what's really interesting is, I think a lot of people would look at you on the surface and think, okay, you're obviously in a physically attractive woman. She's just getting into this because it's kind of like, you know, a cheap path to stardom, mm-hmm. and then she'll go to Hollywood, you know, not to rip her too much, but like Paige VanZant, very young and attractive, but she started training when there's mm-hmm. already the possibility of making money, but you started training when there was a possibility of making, you know, hospital bills that you'd have to pay off for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, I don't know, it just seems like it almost gives you real credibility, I think, with a lot of your fans.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, just, I mean, I'm not just, you know, I'm not just a pretty face. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty good fighter. And I like, you know, I want my abilities to speak for themselves. You know, I do have, you know, I post photo shoots and stuff, you know, and I like people to see that side of me, you know, pretty and feminine, whatever. But, you know, I'm also, I think I'm pretty talented fighter.
Yeah, it's you're one of the, well, actually, because I'll be posting this probably on Thursday. I just did an interview with Angela Magana, and I was going to say, I think you're the first person I've ever talked to that I've seen most of their ass, but I think I saw more of hers than yours. So, and then I saw that you thought she had the best ass in all of MMA. And, I don't know, maybe that's just the sad future of the sport for women. You know, you have to go out there, beat each other up, and it'll be like Miss America. You have the beauty pageant part, the badass part, and, you guys can then get judged like cattle, which I think is what Donald Trump does with the Miss Universe or something. I'm not totally sure, but is that something that, you know, again, you've done this, I've seen the photos everywhere, they're, you know, titillating, but it's obviously that you're doing it deliberately. You're not being caught candidly. Nobody's like got like photos of you in your backyard. And
right.
And I've seen, you know, women in the past in all sports that have any, you know, willingness to say, hey, I can also be, you know, sexual. Whereas men, you know, the famous soccer player, Ronaldo, you know, poses and does all these things and looks pretty and handsome, and nobody gives him shit for it. But it seems like when a woman does it, there's this backlash where it's almost like everybody wants you to fight in a burqa and not acknowledge that maybe you're more complex than they want to believe.
Yeah.
And so do you, I mean, how do you deal with, like, and I would think that a lot of the criticism comes from really women who are, well, we can pretend that they're jealous, but they have this idea that if you in any way, shape, or form express yourself sexually in public, that you have set back all women.
Yeah. I hear that all the time. Like, I mean, basically what you just said is what they mean. And I've heard it recently there's on some of the pictures, the comments and stuff, you know, that people have made, you know, directed at my photo shoot, saying that, you know, well, you know, now this is like a setback for women. You know, they're trying to get out of this image now. I can't remember exactly how somebody worded it, but basically what you said is what they said, just that it's a setback, you know, and that, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, be recognized for our talents and not our bodies or some stupid shit. I don't know.
And what's funny, I was just going to say, it's, but we look at, like, men, and let's face it, Tom Brady gets a lot of attention in football because he's a really good-looking guy married to a fucking supermodel, so God clearly loves him more than he loves me. But then there's ugly-looking, you know, football players, baseball players, and they don't get the endorsements. And it seems like when the men have that happen to them, we're just kind of like, oh, okay. But, like, women are, I guess, not allowed to have any visual appeal. And if you do, you're bringing us back to the 1950s for some reason.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. It makes no sense. I mean, like, in any sport, you know, every female and man, I mean, most of the females, you know, I mean, they have taken some kind of, you know, sexy photos, you know, whether it's, you know, just sports bra and underwear or any, if it's just implied nudity. I mean, a lot of sports professional athletes have done that already, so it's nothing new. But people, you know, they still get offended. They're either jealous or they just want to talk shit.
we'll just say that they're jealous. Although I wanted to ask, because of this, you get attention in multiple ways. Have you had, like, stalkers and creepy dudes who just don't know how to let go and follow you around and bother you?
Yeah, through social media, I have.
Well, yeah, I hope they don't show up at your gym with, like, the head of a squirrel or around a necklace of puka shells or anything.
I have a lot that, you know, always are asking to come and watch us train and stuff. But, no, I haven't had anybody just show up, which is a good thing. But a lot of them do message me, you know, through online. I used to get a lot of funny messages, but I went through and I started, like, deleting and blocking, like, all the people that had, like, really weird names, and all of them that had, like, if we had, like, any friends in common, like, I would go and block them too, because most of them were, like, from other countries and they were weirdos too, so I just started blocking everybody. So now I really don't get it as much.
Well, I mean, you know, good for you. You know, put your foot down. Fuck, tell this tell the people to fuck off. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're completely busy 24/7. One of the, you know, every fighter likes to say, oh, I live fighting and all this stuff. But you and your husband mm-hmm. run a gym. So even your quote-unquote downtime, when everybody else goes mm-hmm. out and drinks and parties, you're running a gym. And a lot of people, I think, don't know what goes into running a gym. If in a, you know, a very general sense, what do you think is a misconception when it comes to running a gym? Like, is it a lot harder than you would imagine most people think it is?
It's hard keeping people, you know, keeping steady people in the gym training and playing every month. It's just like we have our guys that have been there for years now, but they can't pay old bills, you know, just them alone can't. Then we have people that come and go so often and so frequently. It's just, you know, it makes it hard for us to, you know, I mean, you would think, okay, just because we own a gym, it doesn't mean that we're rich. We're not rich. We're by no means, you know, we struggle trying to make the gym stay afloat.
Something that personally I've been there, because one of my good friends is Daniel Vandelay, and everybody in the show who's ever heard me, yes, I mention a lot. I'm not name dropping. He's just a friend, but he's also the lead jiu-jitsu instructor at Rufus Sport. He was my first jiu-jitsu instructor here in Chicago before he moved to Milwaukee. And for a period of time, he was looking to open up his own gym, and I practice law by day when I'm not crime fighting at night. And we were kind of like going through and doing the numbers, and you know, it becomes real clear real quick, like, you need, you know, regular 50, 100 students almost just to break even, and that's not even including, you know, yourself and your own bills. And
yeah.
I think so many people think, oh, wow, look at that. They got all these people running around. And even now, you know, where I train at the Carlson Gracie headquarters, Carlson Gracie Jr., he's a legend. He is as big a name as you can get in jiu-jitsu, and every single weekend he's on the road doing seminars, hustling, trying to make a buck that way. And, yeah, we all see Conor McGregor making $10 million, but it – really, yeah. It's not flowing down to the undercard of UFC, let alone undercard of Invicta.
Yeah. Conor could pay everybody really good with what he makes.
Oh, you want to call out Conor then? I'm sure everybody calls out Conor. Give Conor a call.
No, I'm not calling out him. No. I mean, he deserves what he's getting. I just meant, like, with what he gets paid after every fight, he could, like, pay everybody exceptionally well, I'm sure. I'm not saying that he should do that, you know. I'm not trying to tax him. You know, he earns what he's making.
No, it's fine. So what I'm reading, what I'm hearing is, you think you can beat up Conor's girlfriend and you challenge her to a fight at UFC 200. Is that right?
You're trying to start some shit talking, huh?
Well, you know, somebody's got to. What's the point of, you know, somebody talk if you don't get controversy? Maybe, okay, UFC 201, we'll give her a little bit of notice since you have an advantage.
Yeah, I want $1 million for that fight. I mean, actually, I would, it probably would be pretty easy.
Okay, again, breaking news. She thinks that Conor McGregor's girlfriend is easy. We're just going to read that. let that be as it is. One of the things that I'm kind of curious about is, in your situation, you run the gym, you have a name. Most of the people that would come to your gym would be like, oh, wait, I know you. You're kind of like the draw, if you will, to your gym. Do you find that a lot of times people, when they roll with you or spar with you, go just a little bit harder so they can say, yeah, that's right, I tapped out Andrea Lee?
Well, I mean, you know, we get a few every now and then, but I mean, most of our, most of the people that have come to train with me, you know, like, or in spar with me, is like, have, you know, I always feel like they're just a little bit, like, timid, you know. Not everybody, I'm not talking about all the girls that have come train with me, but I mean, there's some of them have been, like, a little bit timid about it, about sparring, you know, afraid that, you know, they don't want to, because some people are just respectful that way. They're like, I don't want to step on any toes, I don't want to think that I'm trying to go too hard, because then we're, you know, and then she's going to go hard, and then we're going to be going like 100%. So I think most people that's come to the gym have been pretty respectful. You know, Amanda Bell's here right now, and her and I rolled the other day, and I think we didn't go super hard. We were flowing, we were scrambling, and it was a lot of fun. And
you know, it was competitive, but it wasn't like, you know, wasn't like we were trying to rip each other's like faces off or arms off or anything like that. We just flowing the whole time. We enjoyed it so much we didn't even realize like we were like rolling like 12 minutes straight.
Holy shit. Like, for anybody listening that doesn't know, 12 minutes is a long-ass time to be rolling on the mats. Most people do 5, and then they want to vomit. So 12 is a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we were in gi, too, so, I mean, our hands were, like, starting to cramp up. We were grabbing a hold of each other, but it was fun.
So you don't have your gi monkey grips yet?
No, I'm working on it. But I'm just so used to no gi that I forget. I mean, I use the gi, but I don't use it enough. You know what I'm saying? Like I guess just because I'm so used to no gi, I get caught up in no gi techniques when I'm in the gi. You know, but I still grab a hold of the gi and, you know, I will try to work collar chokes and, you know, and bow and arrow chokes and baseball chokes or whatever. You know, I mean, but you know, for the most part, I just flow.
Yeah, it's and I think one of the things that people don't totally know or respect about you is you when you see you fight, you have like genuine, legitimate, outstanding striking. I was just watching a bunch of your fights because that's what I do when I'm bored. Not just you specifically. I'm not that guy. But
right
on the ground, you were very accomplished as a blue belt. I understand you're now a purple belt. You wear yours way better than I wear mine. But you have real skills when it comes to the mat.
Well, thank you.
And, your last fight with Sarah Delio, however you say her name, she was, I think, much bigger than you. But still, do you think that, people have seen the best of what you can offer on the ground?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I displayed a lot of great, you know, things in my world championship fight with Ariel Beck, you know, and that was like a jiu-jitsu clinic, it seemed. But I don't think they have seen the best yet. I still have a lot to offer. And I, you know, getting caught by Sarah, that doesn't mean that my jiu-jitsu sucks. It just means that I effed up and, you know, shit happens. I know where I messed up. And I had that fight won, you know, and then I got in a hurry trying to finish her because I'm that type of person. Like, I don't want to leave it in the hands of the judges. And, you know, I got carried away and was like trying to finish her. And then I got caught in a scramble and she, you know, she took my back and, you know, I effed up. I didn't turn into her. I should have turned into her onto my back and let her take me out instead of like giving her the choke. But, She had her hooks in really tight. I mean, I was sliding out like freaking pancake.
Oh, by the way, you can say the word fuck. Nobody's going to be offended, just so you know.
Like us up.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of your casual fans don't understand is that how you perform on a given night doesn't really always represent your genuine level of talent. Because I compete, I can compete in jiu-jitsu, and maybe I do a tournament every other month. Some tournaments, I go in there, and I just smoke everyone, and I walk away going, "Holy shit, I'm a fucking badass. The UFC should be calling me tomorrow." And then there are other tournaments where, like, I will literally get tapped in 30 seconds, and I go, "What just happened? Like, this doesn't make any sense." And it seems like you have to judge a fighter, I think in particular, over the totality of their career, not just by essentially 1 minute maybe of your last fight.
And again I
mentioned before, you know, she was a little bigger, she'd fought at 35 and the fight was at 25. What do you think for you is the ideal weight class? 115, 125? Where would you feel most comfortable?
125, because I do not believe that I could get down to 115. I mean, I'm already like shriveled up and lean at 125, you know, and that's, you know, I always struggle in those last couple of pounds just trying to get to 125, so I can't imagine trying to get to 115. That would just be painful.
And, you know, it kind of segues into something that, if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine, but you, after your last fight, Nevada said you had a diuretic in your system, I've heard you talk about it a little bit. I wanted to give you the opportunity right now, unfiltered, nobody's giving you shit. What is your side of the story as far as what happened?
I mean, I was bloating that week. I don't really have periods because I have that IUD thing, birth control deal, but I still bloat, and I just seem to be retaining a lot of water, and you know, I was panicking, and I took a fluid pill, and I wasn't thinking that it would be considered, you know, a drug or anything. I wasn't thinking, you know. And then whenever they came back with they emailed me, you know, saying that I was suspended because of my drug test had showed up negative. I was like, what? What are you talking about negative? You know, I was like just thrown off. And then like I kept reading. I'm like, oh, man. You know, I was like, shit.
So, yeah. Did you, I kept reading, couldn't find it. Has the final decision been handed down as far as how long you're going to be out?
Well, yes, I am suspended until December.
Oh, okay.
So I can't really, yeah, so I have to pay them, and then, I mean, my suspension is up in December, so I mean, if I don't, like, I mean, I am going to get them paid, but I mean, I have to be working to be getting paid, and... You know, I mean, I'm just because, like, again, back to the whole gym thing, just because, you know, we run a gym doesn't mean that we're banking or anything. So I personally, like, my work is my fighting, and that's how that's where my money comes from, through my sponsorships and my fighting. And so since this, my suspension, I'm paying for it, of course, not Donnie. Donnie's not paying for it. He's not going to help me pay for it. So I have to pay for it. And in order for me to pay for it, I have to be fighting or doing something, you know, to make some money. And right now I'm suspended, so I can't. So, I mean, I don't know how, like, soon I'm going to be able to pay them back. Cause it's like, like $1,500 or something like that. It's not bad, but it's like
It's more than
part of my fight purse.
Yeah, I think that a lot of, again, people that aren't in the game would say, oh, $1,500, you were on, you know, TV, you're famous, but we know who you are. It's like, oh, you could just write a check for $1,500 tomorrow. In reality, you're probably closer to a lot of the rest of us who are like, if I got hit with a fine for $1,500, I'd be like, oh crap. All right, so I can sell some plasma and some blood, and maybe you know, maybe I'll go to the sperm bank. I don't know what I would do if I had to come up with $1,500. Well, if you sell those things are worth like $20,000 a pop or something, I think. But I don't really. Yeah. I don't. Yeah,
I'm not worth a lot considering. I'm an athlete.
Well, you know, you'd probably. This is going to get really weird. Now, this is the part where everybody's like, wait a second. Are they talking about her selling her eggs for money?
Oh, no.
By the way, just randomly, I saw the video when you were talking about. Do you have a daughter? Is that true?
I do. I'm a beautiful little. She's going to be 5-year-old. Her name's Ainsley.
Wow.
Question.
Yeah, one of my best friends has a 5-year-old, and I'm always freaked out because I didn't progress past the mental age of 15, so I'm like, wait, you can't have a kid. You made a mistake if you've had a child. Oh, wait, no, actually, you're an adult. How is it like with having a child see her mom basically get punched in the face for money?
She's fine with it. I mean, you know, she's been growing up and seeing me do it, and so to her, it's normal. She cheers me on. Oh, yeah. Funny story, like the other day at the Legacy Fight, which was this past Saturday, she was walking around, she was signing autographs because she's baby KGB. But she was charging $1 for each autograph.
Hey, you're going to pay off your fine in no time that way.
Yeah. Okay, Ainsley, you got charged for autographs.
Oh, jeez. That's disturbingly cute. That's something I feel like only people that are fight fans would understand why that's cute. Everybody, like my mother, who's a librarian, be like, oh, "This is horrible and barbaric. What are you doing?"
But she's to that point where she's starting to figure out how to like sign her name, so she wanted to sign autographs because she sees me do it, and so she wanted to do it.
I'd actually probably rather have an autograph for her than you. No offense. I just think it'd be a little more valuable.
in the future for sure. I mean, she's going to be something.
We kind of just touched on this a little bit before, and it's something that I have always personally wondered, and I've never heard any female fighter talk about it publicly. And I've dated girls from actually never from my gym, but from rival gyms. We were the Romeo and Juliet, the jiu-jitsu scene in Chicago. Yes, everybody, I'm reusing the same line. It's a good line. But I feel like there's nobody wants to acknowledge the fact that women at a certain time of the month can carry more water than men do. And, you know, if I wake up tomorrow at 185 pounds and I go to sleep, I'll weigh 185 pounds because God doesn't hate me and bless me with every 28 days I get to just retain water. And I don't know what the solution is, but it seems like people need to understand that women really do have different bodies, and your ability to cut weight is different than what other people have to go through.
It is, and I mean, we just have to figure out, you know, I mean, like, obviously, I guess we should, you know, we cut out our salt, of course. You got to cut out your salt so that, you know, that helps you to not retain as much. But I mean, when it hits you, like, the freaking week of the fight, you know, and you're already, like, not eating anything and not drinking anything, and then you're, like, bloated. Any little bit that you take in, it's just, like, your body's, like, keeping it, storing and absorbed, you know? I mean, like, it won't let go. You know, it's just, it starts to, you know, I don't know, it starts to get you paranoid, making you think you're not going to make weight. But I think I would have been better off to not make weight, you know, when it got suspended. But, I mean, I think I still would have made weight. I shouldn't have taken it, you know. I took it because I was paranoid, but anyway.
Yeah, and you're not somebody that you've never really missed weight before. You clearly don't look like Bob Sapp or anything like that. So I don't think anybody thinks that you're really gaming the system and trying to cheat. But it just seems like a lot of people want to automatically assume the worst of every athlete. And in fairness, a lot of athletes just go out and lie. And they say, I didn't know that I was not allowed to use, you know, horse steroids before my fight. And you go, really? And meanwhile, I think, again, especially with the women, because all weight cutting is designed for men, because that's the majority of fighters. So we all think of how would a man cut weight? But a woman, like, you could cut weight and you'd be like, yeah, I'm still going to carry a bunch of weight because, you know, you fuckers want babies someday, so thanks. What do you want me to do now? But, I mean, again, like I say, yeah, you fucked up, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. You'll be back in December. Invicta only runs, what, 4 or 5 shows a year, so you're clearly going to be back. And when you do come back, whose ass do you want to kick?
His ass do you want to kick? I don't have anybody in particular, you know? I just want to get back in the cage and freaking beat somebody up and get my hand raised, you know? I don't care who it is. But I just, you know, I want to come back and put on a good show and make some money. And hopefully get a shot at that title. But, you know, sorry, I got to work my way back up to that. I freaking had a couple of close opportunities, and I feel like I've done, let it slip through my hands twice now.
Well, you know, again, you don't understand that you are young, but you are really young. You're 8 years younger than me, and I'm younger, so you're really young. Oh, yeah, sorry, 5 years younger. Still, whatever. Yeah, you're still, you'll always be 25. And again, in Invicta, the only people who have beaten you are people that are generally bigger and with a lot more experience. Of any of your losses, is there one that sticks to you more than the other where you go, I really want that one back? I think I could have done better against her.
I feel like that in both of my losses. You know, I mean, like, I for sure know that my performance whenever I fought Roxanne was not my best performance, and I was not completely there, mainly because, you know, my eardrum was ruptured a few days before that fight, and then I caught an ear infection because I got water in my ear,
and it flooded my freaking ear canal, and that was painful because I didn't realize it was ruptured. I mean, I felt it whenever I got hit, you know, I was like, oh, you know, it rocked me, and I, you know, fell, and I was like, my ears hurt, and I can't hear, but I was thinking maybe it was just a ring that was going to go away, and then I was taking a bath that night, and I freaking just, like, soaked my head in water, and the water filled my ear canal, and then I got sick, and then I had, like, a fever the next night, and I was completely not there that night, and I know I lost a split decision. Like, I'm like, somebody thought that I won, and I personally know and did not feel like I had won, but, you know, I know that I could have. I was able to go to a decision with Roxanne, because, you know, I had only had a couple of pro fights, and, you know, she'd been doing it way longer, so, I mean, yeah, that one eats at me, but I really think that this last loss eats at me even more, just because I had that fight won, and then I choked in there at the end, and so that irritates me.
Yeah, it's funny, because, again, Roxanne is truly one of the old school original pioneers of women's MMA. Mm-hmm. Going back to the 90s, I'm watching, I'm going, when I was, you know, first watching, she was one of, like, two names anybody ever knew that were women that fought. And then, obviously, yeah, you know, the fight with Sarah Delelio, where I was, like, watching it again, I go, wow, you did way better against her than I kind of, you know, remembered in my head, because I remember the submission at the end. And you essentially could be undefeated in Invicta and knocking on the title door there. So who do you think matches up best with you? Who would give you a good, fun fight at 125?
A good, fun fight? Yeah,
like who would be like a fight where you go, you know what, she and I could go out there, put on a show, throw hands, and really show what we have to offer, as opposed to, you know, somebody that might be just a grinder that makes it kind of boring and unattractive to watch?
Probably Christine Stanley. I know she really wants to fight me. And I think, you know, just because we're both, like, really good stand-up fighters. But, I mean, I don't think it matters, like, who I fight. I'm going to make it an interesting fight, you know? Because, like, I haven't fought a boring fight.
No, that's like, ever. That's for sure. So we'll just say we'll just say that is, you're officially calling her out, and you think that she sucks and that she's beneath you, and that you can.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, but you didn't deny it either.
No, I don't think that.
Don't worry, they'll all blame me. And finally, because I know you've been giving me a lot of time here, you didn't jump right into the pros. Like, a lot of getting to be a professional women's fighter isn't actually that tough compared to the men, just because the talent pool is small enough. But you took your time. You had a number of amateur fights. You did it the right way that way. You've had a very realistic look at your career. And so, realistically, when do you think you're getting to the UFC?
Well, apparently not this year. I'm suspended. Well, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's possible that, I mean, you know, once they start calling us 125ers up, I mean, it could be in the next year. Like, could be next year. But the thing is that, you know, I mean, as much as, I mean, like, I want to go to the UFC. That's my ultimate goal. But I really love fighting for, like, Invicta and Legacy.
Right.
It's just, if you've, you know, Shannon Knapp, she's an amazing person. Julia Kedzie, she's awesome, you know, and it's great to work for them. And then, you know, you got Nick Maynard and Adrian Maynard and the owners of Legacy, and, you know, and then just all of the people that work, you know, with them, you know, everybody's so cool. And, you know, it's just like, it's like a family atmosphere, you know. You always feel welcome. You don't feel like they're just out to use you for anything, you know. I mean, like,
yeah,
you feel like they care about you, you know. And so I enjoy that. I enjoy that atmosphere. But you know, I'm not saying I definitely want to go to the UFC. I mean, that's my ultimate goal. But, you know,
well, and that's where I'm at. And from what I know, especially, you know, Shannon Knapp, she's always seemed to me to have a very realistic understanding of Invicta's place in the business. And she's not someone that, like, begrudges people when they get called up to the big show. She knows what Invicta is. It's you know, it's a place for her to give exposure, and hopefully they break even and make a little bit of money, and you girls get to go and show to the world of, oh yeah, guess what, we've been kicking ass down here in usually Kansas City. I don't know why Kansas City. That's not exactly where I would have thought women's MMA would be a hotbed, but so be it. Maybe people in Missouri really like women beating each other up. I can't argue with it. But before we go, you got to plug everything you've got, and don't give the bullshit, oh, thanks for this, this, and this. Tell people not just why someone's a sponsor, but why they should support that sponsor and how they can help you out, you know, tip a fighter and things like that.
Okay.
I know. Well, it's a lot. I know.
Yeah. Well, let's think. Fodder Alias, you know, that they've been helping me out and, you know, keeping me financially stable and able. And so has MMA Roadhog and Love MMA. I mean, like, and Martial Arts Life. I mean, all of these people, I feel like, you know, they all definitely need to be supported, because they support all fighters, you know, the amateurs and the pros. And they're really great people. And they, you know, even though I'm not fighting right now, they're still helping me out. And I really appreciate that. That means so much to me. You know, and then at tipafighter.com, you know, that's a place where, you know, the fan can go and help support, you know, a fighter if they want to. You know, it's kind of like if you donate to Tip a Fighter, you know, you pick the fighter that you want to support, you can donate, you know, a couple of dollars or however much you want to. That's like your own personal sponsorship. So it's like Tip a Fighter is allowing the fans to help sponsor fighters. My husband and my coach, Donnie Aaron, and you, Mike, for having me on today. I really want to thank you. I feel like I might be forgetting some people.
What's the name of your gym and the website?
Well, Karate Mafia is the name of my gym, and we don't have a website. I mean, you could find websites online, but they're not ours. Somebody else made those. But you can find us on Facebook at Karate Mafia. And also my Facebook page is Andrea KGB Lee. And also I'm on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. And all of that is Andrea KGB Lee. You can always find me under Andrea KGB Lee.
And you did a series of photos that I only looked at once. Don't worry, people. Who was the people behind those photos that objectified you, but in a very professional manner?
Timothy Lee Eddington, and his website is called the Legacy Playmaker, and you know he's phenomenal. I mean, he does a lot of amazing. Like he's even taken a lot of my pictures whenever I fought for Legacy, my kickboxing match. He took quite a few phenomenal pictures that, you know, forever. Like, it'd be one of my favorites. I'll send it to you. I'll send you some of the pictures that he took. But I mean, like, his main thing is not like portrait pictures. His thing is sports photography. That's what he loves to take pictures of. So, but he's amazing. So look him up. Timothy Lee Eddington, Legacy Playmaker.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say also, Maurice White, you know, for all of y'all that, if y'all have ever seen like, my outfits, my uniforms that I fight in.
We've seen them. Yeah.
Well, the man who makes them, his name's Maurice White, and his company is called Sports Inc. Apparel. And, you know, he does a really phenomenal job, and I love everything that he does. And then also, my hat sponsor, my cowboy hat sponsor, Ink Billy Styles, he made my straw hat, and it has like KGB on it, and like it's so cool, you know, he can do anything. So
and on the Tip of Fighter, are like, I know, like, it's kind of like the fight version of a GoFundMe. Are there levels that people get, like, oh, if you tip $25 you will send them an email or something like that? I don't know how it really works.
Yes there is. I've been like, anybody like sends like $100, you know, I'll send you like a picture and a signed t-shirt. As long as I have the t-shirt, I'll send the signed t-shirt. If not, then I'll send a signed hat or one of my sponsorship shirts. You know, I always have sponsorship shirts. But if I have signature t-shirts, then of course I'll send that first. But, and then $50, I'll send you a signed autograph.
You got 100. Go ahead.
I was saying like 100, you know, you can get like, you got signed merchandise and a picture, and then 50, you get like a signed picture. I'll probably figure something else out and add more to it.
I was going to say, one of my favorite people in the whole world is comedian Doug Stanhope, and he sells a lot of stuff, and his merch guy will just randomly grab crap from around the house and throw it in there. So you should just, like, you know, find a piece of junk mail you got, sign that, and be like, hey, everybody, you got a piece of junk mail that says I was pre-approved for a 1% interest car loan or something like that.
But, I've never heard that.
You know, it's something unique and special. But just like you are as a fighter, and that's a really cheesy segue, but again, Andrea KGB Lee, she loves America. She hates the commies.
I love America.
She's going to be back soon. She's going to be kicking ass, and she'll probably be in the UFC one day and be way too big to ever be here again. And I think that would be the coolest thing ever. So, again, thank you for doing everything, Andrea. And if you have any last words to say, say them now. Otherwise, I'll have to hang it up and we'll never speak again.
Don't say that. We will definitely be speaking again. And thank you just for having me on today, Mike. I really appreciate it. And I enjoy our conversation, you know. It was really fun.
Well, I tried. You know, it's a little different. You're married, so I couldn't hit on you. Magana, not married. Totally just tried to hit her. Totally hit on her the whole time. And until she says, stop it, you creep, I'll just keep it on her. Hey, I know you're listening, Angela. But again, yeah. Everybody listening, that's a really weird way to end a show, and I like it that way. So thanks for listening to the Half Credit Hour at halfcredit.com. We will talk to you guys the next time we have a show. And if we don't ever have a show again, it's because I died in a car accident, and you'll all be crying.
Aww.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all, bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about. We hope.